Hello, my friends, to yet another episode of your favorite spooky history podcast, Strange Origins. For a pretty special topic this week, I wanted to deep dive as much as possible into a subject that has been on my mind a lot in the past few years, as is evidenced by my podcast logo. My fascination with the moon feels like it's been kind of a lifelong thing. It wasn't hard to find the moon, as it was featured pretty frequently in a lot of very interesting pieces of art, or classic films, or poems about love I've read. The moon really is just a beautiful part of life on Earth that seems to inspire everyone. And while it's had its moment in pop culture, I've rarely heard any stories about the superstitions of the moon, or heard any explanations as to why it is such a fundamental part of mythological lore, the horror genre, or even symbology. A large part of the reason I'm still so fascinated with the moon is largely to blame on stories my mom told me. Growing up, my mother was a nurse in a small hospital in a small valley in Idaho. After what I can only imagine were some very long night shifts, she would come home and tell my sister and I that full moons were some of the busiest times for a hospital. This was especially true in her experience when it came to babies being born. What isn't too surprising is that my mom isn't the only medical professional to harbor this belief. A 1995 study from the University of New Orleans discovered that about 81% of professionals in the mental health field believe that the moon has a deep effect on people's psyches. Those changes include when people are more prone to sleepwalk, to have more violent fits of rage, to perform illegal activity such as murder, or even contemplate committing suicide. But while medical professionals will often blame a busy night on a full moon, there's not too many statistics that can account for the superstition. So where did these superstitions come from in the first place? Well, as I guessed it would be, the moon is a pretty popular subject, and it doesn't really matter which culture you study. Pretty much everybody agrees that the moon has a strange effect on people that they just can't quite seem to explain. This superstition actually led to the creation of the word lunatic, or lunacy, which derives from the word luna. It was actually believed at one point that you could account for bad behavior in lunatic houses, like England's infamous Bedlam, by keeping track of the lunar cycle. At those points where the moon was brighter than it is during the rest of the month, it's said that the more volatile patients were chained, flogged, and deprived of food even before they acted out, simply as a way of keeping them from misbehaving because of the full moon. Even in the 1930s, it's said that a visitor to an asylum in the West Indies reported that this same practice was still being adhered to, as the guards particularly believed that the patients were harder to handle during a full moon. And quote, special precautions have to be taken in order to restrain them, end quote. Something that could work to your benefit when it came to superstitions about the full moon is that it was sometimes used as a bargaining chip. In the 18th century in England, it was actually fairly common for those people who were then on trial for murder to attempt to get a lesser sentence by blaming the full moon as having controlled them in a moment of insanity. By making this argument, they hoped to get a plea of insanity, which meant a less brutal punishment. While those beliefs had real-world consequences, it was also around the 1900s when the lore behind modern-day monsters began to revolve around the moon. As I discussed in my episode on werewolves, it wasn't until Hollywood got involved that a correlation between werewolves and the moon was drawn, because it was simply just easier to film a transformation under the light of a full moon. It is also believed that vampires can somehow heal themselves when laid out in the light of the full moon. As do most of my research topics, superstitions about the moon can be easily tied back to the ancient Greeks. The philosopher Hippocrates, who is today considered the father of modern medicine, wrote that, quote, "One who is seized with terror, fright, and madness during the night is being visited by the goddess of the moon." The goddess he was referring to was Luna, who was also referred to in Greek mythology as Selene. Her male counterpart is famously Helios, the god of the sun, and she is also famously known for being portrayed alongside two other goddesses who are also connected to nighttime, forming a sort of triad. Artemis, the twin sister to Apollo, is the goddess of hunting wild animals and of chastity and childbirth. These two goddesses served alongside Hecate, who, as I've discussed in previous episodes, was the goddess of witchcraft, ghosts, and was one of the only gods to hold keys to the underworld. While today they are often mistaken for serving together as a symbol for the maiden, mother, and crone, they were never meant to be a triad. Instead, they were just grouped together for their femininity and affiliation to the moon. Something I found fascinating about the goddess Selene was her relationship with the first quote-unquote astronomer. The story revolves around Endymion, who is often depicted as a beautiful young man who spent much of his time asleep, simply because he was given a gift by Zeus that allowed him to remain youthful forever by sleeping. Because of this, the moon, or as we now know her, Selene, fell in love with him and would visit him often while he lay asleep in a cave on Mount Latmus. She loved him so much that in the end she bore him 50 daughters. In all reality, it's believed that Endymion was simply just a shepherd who was the first person to really study the phases of the moon and become an astronomer. In the 2nd and 3rd century Roman funerals, it was pretty common to see coffins, or Roman sarcophagi, as having both Selene and Endymion carved onto the outsides. Usually Selene would be holding a billowing veil above her head in a crescent shape that symbolizes her role as the moon. Other than the Greeks, it seems every mythology has their own version of a lunar deity. Egypt has Khons, who is often depicted as a young boy. In Norse mythology, it's Mani who serves as the personification of the moon, along with his brother Sol. When it came time for Mani and Sol to make their trips around Earth, it was decided that they should be chased by wolves, so that they never became lazy on the job. The effect of that particular mythology can still be felt today in any English-speaking part of the world. As it was traditionally the second day of the week in Nordic cultures that the goddess of the moon was worshipped. It was also customary in ancient Britain for any girl born on a Monday to be named Mona. Later, the Anglo-Saxon version of the word Mondendag, which means the moon's day, morphed into Monday. Something I found interesting about lore connected with the moon was that for the most part, the moon is a symbol of femininity and fertility. This is thought to be because the lunar cycle, as well as the female reproductive system, go through monthly cycles, which is evidenced by the fact that the word menstruation has shared linguistic roots with the word moon, especially in the Yoruba religion. It is the goddess Yamoja that has the ability to cure infertility and also to protect women. In Incan mythology, the most popular lunar deity is referred to as Mama Kia, which can be translated to mean Mother Moon. According to her origin, she was the daughter of the Supreme Creator and the goddess of the sea, so she had an important role to play in Incan mythology. One of the myths surrounding Mama Kia stated that when a fox fell in love with her, he attempted to go up into the sky to her so that they could be together forever. She squeezed him so hard against her that it created the dark patches that we now see on the moon. It was also strongly believed that lunar eclipses were things to be feared, as it was believed to be animals such as mountain lions or snakes attacking Mama Kia. This left people attempting to throw weapons at the eclipse and making as much noise as possible in an attempt to distract the creature attacking her. This was because they believed that if the animal was successful in its attack, they would be left in total darkness. It's also said that during blood moons, the red coloring was once interpreted as a jaguar attempting to eat the moon. Making loud noises was all they could do to drive the creature away. Likewise, it was in China that a three-legged toad or dragon were blamed for causing a lunar eclipse. To keep it from swallowing the moon whole, they would use the ringing of bells to try to distract it and draw it away from the moon. Also in Chinese folklore, there is the well-known story of Chang'e. Chang'e was the goddess of the moon, who was said to have been punished by her husband for stealing an elixir of immortality. The elixir was so precious to him because he had been awarded it after completing the task of shooting down 9 out of 10 suns that were making Earth uninhabitable at the time. As punishment, Chang'e has been banished to live on the moon, supposedly alongside a rabbit who keeps her company. The figure of the rabbit on the moon is a popular one in Far Eastern folklore, as it's pretty easy to see a particular patch of dark marks on the moon that look like the side view of a rabbit bent over a pot. It is said that the rabbit is pounding and mixing herbs for Chang'e or other Chinese immortals. An alternative story for the imprint of the famous rabbit comes from Buddhist tradition. It's said that a monkey, an otter, a jackal, and a rabbit got together and resolved to practice charity together on the day of the full moon. It was when an old man begged them for food that they each went on separate missions to retrieve and cook a meal for the man. While the other animals gathered different foods, the rabbit realized that he only knew how to gather grass. So he decided that instead he would sacrifice himself and throw himself onto a fire for the old man. When he jumped into the flames, he slowly began to realize that the fire didn't harm him. It was later revealed that the old man was the ruler of Buddhist heaven, referred to as Sakra. Touched by the sacrifice of the rabbit, he drew his likeness on the moon for all to see. As for scientific explanations as to why the full moon causes madness, there's not a lot to go off of. It was in the 1st century AD that Pliny the Elder believed the full moon, quote, gave birth to especially heavy nocturnal dew and called the brain to become unnaturally moist. According to him, this led to madness and even epileptic attacks. In the 20th century, a man by the name of Arnold Lieber wrote a book on the way the moon affects people. In these books, Pliny the Elder's ideas, which were formed around 1500 years ago, were tweaked slightly and modernized. In Lieber's book, it was stated that the human body had biological tides, which were caused by the gravitational force of the moon on the human organism. Essentially, he was saying that since humans are made up of fluids, the moon had a similar effect on us, the same way it does with the tides of the ocean. To use as evidence for this claim, he put forth that he had found significant correlation between the full moon and homicides over a 15-year period. While it's been disproved that the moon's gravitational pull has a significant effect on human bodies, that theory is still a popular one today, and Arnold Lieber's book is still celebrated. Something else I found fascinating about the supposed effects of the moon was its correlation with female menstruation and fertility. A popular old wives' tale even states that it's the fifth day after a full moon that is the best time to try to conceive a child. Even as late as the 1950s, a Czech doctor took it upon himself to tell his female patients looking to get pregnant that they should look at the phases of the moon. He advised that they should track their ovulation by those phases, as they ovulated when the moon was in the same position as it was when they themselves were born. While this is completely untrue, as every woman's ovulation is completely different and completely unaffected by the moon, it's still a pretty common misconception, strangely enough. Another superstitious theory states that to have your baby under a full moon is to invite the chance of birth defects. Recent studies, though, have found that really no statistical evidence for this superstition exists. And as is the case with a lot of the topics I'm interested in, another theory about the moon that I came across was the idea that it is inhabited by aliens. This theory was mostly pushed by the Bavarian astronomer Franz von Paula Greithausen. A brilliant astronomer and physician, he was even the first person to propose the idea that the craters of the moon were caused by meteorite impacts. Greithausen noted one day that in his observations of the moon, it looked as though a city had begun to be built in a very small section of the surface that even included buildings and streets. Most likely this was due to the quality of telescope he was using while looking at the moon, and this claim was later disproved by other astronomers with more powerful instruments. Something I hadn't considered about the full moon was the fact that it is known to cause people some very sleepless nights. And while this makes sense when you realize that more light outside can cause people to become restless, it still doesn't explain the fact that sleep studies of patients kept in windowless rooms are still recorded as sleeping less on more moonlit nights. Some believe that this monthly sleep deprivation could, in theory, be, quote, sufficient to induce mania/hypomania in susceptible bipolar patients and seizures in patients with seizure disorders. Another common myth about the moon dictates that farmers should consult the lunar cycle when deciding when to plant certain crops. In the Farmer's Almanac, for example, it was at one point advised that farmers should plant crops that grow above ground while the moon is waxing. That way, with their corn and wheat, the moon could more fully pull the plant out of the ground and cause it to grow larger. Conversely, it is also stated that to help grow crops like yams or turnips, you should plant them when the moon is waning, so that when the moon fades, it will help the plants to grow deeper into the ground. As for the lore concerning new moons, superstitions are a bit different. In Hindu culture, it is during a new moon that you should take time to ponder the concepts of good and evil. It is also a day where many Hindus fast, and seeing as the new moon is symbolic of new beginnings, it's also believed to be a time when new projects can commence. When the new moon is on a Sunday and the following day is then a Monday, that particular day is referred to as Amavasya Samvati. It's especially believed that fasting on that day will ensure childbearing, prevent widowhood, and even lead to one's dreams coming true. In Ireland, it's believed that the new moon could have an effect on what happens to you in the coming month. Because of this, it was thought to double your wealth when you could be seen carrying around a silver coin that you had borrowed under a new moon, which is a superstition I'll be sure to utilize next month. All I know at the end of this episode is that the moon is pretty complicated. While through history she has served merely as a second act to the role of the sun, she has still managed to cause her fair share of disturbances on Earth. In an apocalyptic book I read once about what exactly would happen if an asteroid disrupted the gravitational pull of the moon, a fair point was made that I still think about to this day. It was said that, quote, "I never really thought about how, when I look at the moon, it's the same moon as Shakespeare and Marie Antoinette and George Washington and Cleopatra looked at," end quote. I hope that that's something that you ponder the next time you look up at the night sky. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my little podcast, my friends. Stay safe out there. Remember to look for the little rabbit on the moon. And don't forget to keep it strange.